the name of the values that keep you alive, do not let your vision of man be distorted by the ugly, the cowardly, the mindless, and those who have never achieved his title. Do not lose your knowledge that man's proper estate is an upright posture, an intransigent mind, and a step that travels unlimited roads. Do not let your fire go out, sparked by replacing the spark in the hope the swamps of the approximate are not quite, the not yet, the not at all. The world you desired can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It's yours.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kalabian, and today we're sitting down with Nick Shupak. Thanks for so much for being here, Nick.
I appreciate you having me, Mark.
And today we're going to talk about Sportscaster, which is bridging the gap between cryptocurrencies and sports, giving fans the tools to tokenize some of the sports economy. So just to get started, how did you first get attracted to this company? And I know you were a co-founder, so what prepared you to start this company, and what's been your experience thus far before we get into some of the more specifics of the company?
Sure, happy to answer that for you. So we met Kevin April, who is our CEO, a few years ago, and he, along with our CTO, Peter Azoulis, at the time were working on a project they had co-founded called sportsblog.com. Sportsblog.com at one time was the web's most popular open blogging platform for sports fans. It was attracting somewhere in the range of 20 to 30 million uniques a month. And the most common request from sports blogs users was for features that enabled them to blog live while games were on. So you fast forward a couple of years, and we've developed Sportscaster, which is the live video streaming platform and social network that enables anybody in the world to choose their sportscaster, or at the click of a button, be the sportscaster. Now, I personally not only have been involved in technology for quite a long time, but I'm also a very big sports fan. So anytime there is a project to be undertaken in or around the world of sports, color me excited.
Yeah, and I do want to preface this interview with the fact that I am probably the opposite of you. I don't really watch sports. I'm a rare fish, but you know, so some of this maybe you'll need to explain to me like I'm five, but you know, it's all interesting to me, and I love a lot of industries that are very similar. I love politics, which is sort of a sport of sorts, and
absolutely
some of the stuff, you know, it's all reported very similar, and I play games as well, and video game streaming is very similar, so I think that's an interesting parallel as well. Was that some of the idea did you take from the popularity of streaming services like Twitch in the video game sector?
Well, I could say yes, but I think the real answer is that it's not such a direct correlation. Difficult to draw a straight line from Twitch to what we're doing. Uh-huh. You know, obviously, when getting somebody to understand what our vision is and what our mission with Sportscaster is, it is convenient to say, think Twitch, but for sports.
Yeah.
But the genesis of that was really, of Sportscaster was really quite different.
You don't want to be the Uber of.
Exactly. It's not quite so, it's not quite so derivative. Mm-hmm. Quite simply, as you noted when you cited politics just now, sports are something that people are very passionate about. And
very
communities, yes, very opinionated, and their affiliations, the affiliations that people have with their favorite teams are equivalent to religious affiliations.
Yeah.
So coming from a place where we know that we want to create a very strong and very pure sense of community, there are a few things in the world that are better suited to that sort of environment than sports. And from the get-go, we recognized that people are not only fans of sports, but more specifically, fans of teams. So that thinking, that notion that people really, really have a religious affiliation with the team that they love the most was the philosophy that sparked the generation of FanChain.
Yeah, and so I guess they're identifying with a community, and I've known people, and I guess that's another thing. I sort of grew up in LA, so we never really had a football team. Mm-hmm. I never really found my team to root for, but some people, they have their team, and that team follows them everywhere they go, and that's sometimes, you know, a strong part of their community, strong part of their friend group, part of their extracurricular activities. So mm-hmm. how are you bringing the community together? How are you, you know, reducing the gap between me as a fan and all the other fans in my area?
So the way that Sportscaster addresses that issue is by empowering the sports community to choose their own sportscaster or be their own sportscaster. Something we identified early on was that with all of the advancements that sports media has made over the past several decades, the one component of the live broadcast that remained unable to be personalized or customized was the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And when we hit on this, it was, you know, the proverbial light bulb went off, and we recognized what a vibrant social community we could create if we gave people the ability to commentate the games themselves, invite their friends into live chat with them while they commentated, and ultimately empower these very passionate communities to deliver the live broadcasts in a very personalized way. What's more, as we got further along with the project, is we recognized how many sports are very kind of ridiculously underserved in markets outside of their home market. So for instance, sports that are really popular in the United States may very well be popular in other countries, but the delivery of live commentary in those countries, and particularly in those regionalized languages and in those regionalized styles, is something that's greatly underserved. So if you're able to open up a democratized community and empower people to create their own commentary, suddenly I'm a New York Knicks fan, but I only speak Portuguese, and I've never had really meaningful interaction or engagement with live broadcasts from my favorite team before. Sportscaster changes that paradigm. And how FanChain functions with this whole new paradigm and this new environment that we're creating is FanChain is a decentralized ecosystem and what we call a fungible, non-fungible hybrid token. And we can sort of get into what that means in a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's an ecosystem that enables any league, team, sports media entity of any sort to integrate FanChain reward systems to empower their most passionate fans.
Yeah, and I certainly want to get into FanChain in a little bit, because that's interesting. You guys have a sort of two product model where, you know, you have Sportscaster, which I guess is your main product, and that's I guess the umbrella. And is FanChain a partnership, or is that your own ecosystem, your I guess product ecosystem within the company?
That's a very good question, and it is important to sort of set up these definitions. So from day one, Sportscaster was designed to include a digital economy. So again, even though I don't love doing it, to tie it back to Twitch, the ability for a viewer to tip or send a digital gift to a content creator he or she loves is really powerful. Yeah. And it's not only a great economic model, but in a very pure sense, it's a wonderful and new thing for me as a viewer to get recognized by you, the commentator I love.
And you don't have to deal with ads nearly as much if you can take it to its logical conclusion.
Absolutely. So you sort of kill two birds with one stone by negating the need to interrupt these live broadcasts with commercials. And you also enable a vast community of people, and limiting it even just to sports, but it goes even far beyond sports, but empowering these people with the ability to tip their broadcaster, or content creator, commentator, whatever you'd like to call it, so that the commentator then looks right into the camera, says your name, shows their appreciation,
yeah.
and this whole new relationship, this whole new type of community, communication, never existed before. I mean, this is brand new, and it's really powerful stuff. So Sportscaster from day one was designed to include an economy that really developed these meaningful relationships between content creators and the people who view them.
Yeah, it seems like you could create pretty powerful schools of thought within even teams and have different opposing philosophies and ideas on different things and create communities around that as well. So create more facets of the total community if you do it correctly, because right now you have the main commentators who make up majority of the opinions being cast pretty much at all. But that being said, how have you guys dealt with things like streaming rights? So I know royalties and licensing in that industry is really crazy. So is the streaming being done on the user side where they're just hooking up a, you know, satellite account similarly to how you would log in on an app on Apple TV? Or do you guys have other negotiations so that people can get all these live broadcasts, and which broadcasts can they get so far?
So there are two fundamental ways in which Sportscaster is used. It's either a second screen experience, or in the cases you just mentioned that we have the broadcast rights as a first screen experience. So in the case where we haven't got the rights to show the game because we didn't spend $1 billion yeah. on Thursday Night Football, I, the viewer, might have the game on television, and I have my commentator on my phone with the live chat going so that I'm interacting with the community that I most strongly identify with. Look, people are already on their phones anyway. They're doing yeah. some combination of texting, listening to music. During any given game, something like 50% of all tweets within a network become associated with that game. So people are already second screening. That's nothing yeah. new. Not really reinventing the wheel with that idea. So might as well enable people to tune in to a commentator who is not your standard television commentator. Now look, we have nothing against your standard commentators. I mean, I love my hometown commentators. They're really great, but they're never going to be even close to as engaging or, to be honest, rewarding as a commentator who is actually communicating with me. And if I'm a 12-year-old kid, if I'm an 18-year-old kid, I don't necessarily want to watch a traditional broadcast from somebody who's practiced and clean and is using yeah. PG language and has to sort of, take that middle road, can't cheer for a particular team, can't get too excited, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So even if I'm just holding the commentator in the palm of my hand, that's very powerful. Now, in the instance that we do have the rights to the game or the event, like we have in with several esports tournaments, what we do is we have the event itself on the main screen, and layered on top of it, you have your broadcasters. And something that's really cool and totally unique about the technology that we've developed is I, as a viewer, am able to switch between broadcasters with the flick of a finger or the click of a button, never ever leaving the main broadcast. I can click a button to show me the browsing options, so I can show myself, for example, all the Spanish broadcasters, all the broadcasters speaking in German, or just show me the commentators who are delivering this in a comedic way.
Uh-huh.
So the ability for me to personalize the commentary that I'm receiving is executed in a really streamlined and efficient way through what we call our first screen technology. And if you were to use any other platform, and I won't name names here, but you can imagine who I'm talking about, it's a much more cumbersome process, and it's really not designed for this use case.
Yeah, I played around with it a little bit, and it's really clean. It looks really cool. It feels engaging. You've got like live tickers and things like that to keep people up to date. So it feels exciting, and it feels a lot more legitimate than what someone can just do from their home by themselves typically.
Appreciate that. Yeah, and that live ticker you cite, it's called a thing at the top of the screen is called a score bug, and that
Yeah,
updates
here
in
I'm using stock terms.
that's the next spin-off. After
Yeah.
Sportscaster successful, we'll do Stockcaster.
Well, I mean, that's not a bad idea either. People day trading more and more these days, and they need live, up-to-date information, so.
That's very, very true. So those score bugs are receiving real-time data from a company called Stats. Stats is the world's largest provider of real-time sports data. So anytime you're watching a game on ESPN or Fox or whatever it might be, the strong likelihood is that Stats is providing that data feed to
Yeah.
them. Now, we are the first, what you could call startup. We're the first small organization who has entered into such a relationship with Stats. So something very cool that they're going to be doing with us moving forward is ostensibly using Sportscaster and Sportscaster users as an incubator for new technology. So all Sportscaster users are going to be getting the latest features and new statistical feeds from Stats before anybody else
Like a
gets them.
giant beta tester pool.
Exactly,
Oh,
exactly.
that's cool. So could you tell us a little bit about Fan Chain? So what is the Fan Chain? How did you organize it? And what are some of the major products? I know you guys have Fan Exchange, Fan Wallet, Fan Pay, Fan Pay-Per-View, it looks like, Fan Prizes, Bounties. And we can go through one by one
Keep
if you want,
going.
or but however you wanted to tackle some of that stuff, just to introduce people to these products and maybe why they're good to have in sports and also necessary in crypto generally.
Sure. So to reiterate, from day one, Sportscaster was designed, as I said, to include a digital economy. We recognize that if we were to build that ecosystem on top of a blockchain, and we selected Ethereum for a number of reasons. I'll put a pin in that and I'll come back to why we chose Ethereum in a second. That enabled us to decentralize, to use our favorite buzzword, to decentralize the entire ecosystem, thereby making Sportscaster an application that utilized the fan chain reward system and via the fan chain token, but by no means the only platform to do so. So, as you mentioned, fanprizes.com is a platform we are currently developing that will be available later this year. Fan prizes will be the first place where users can use their fan chain tokens on sports merchandise, tickets, and other related perks. But what the fan chain token is, for anybody who wants to get a little bit technical, it's an ERC20 compliant token, so you can keep it in any, basic ERC20 compliant wallet. And it comes with what we call ERC 721 style characteristics. So those characteristics are what make this token a hybrid of a fungible and a non-fungible token. So the ERC 721 characteristics enable us essentially to embed fan team loyalty into each token. So you can have a token that is embedded with metadata associated with, for instance, Manchester United or the Dodgers, associated with your favorite team. To play that out in the real world, to shed light on why that's significant, if Pete, let's call him, goes to a store, whether online or IRL, and buys a Manchester United t-shirt, Pete gives the cashier fiat currency, the cashier gives him the shirt, end of transaction. If Pete were to have used his fan chain tokens during that transaction, he'd be immediately recognized as a stakeholder and value creator for the Manchester United brand, and he'd be immediately eligible for anything ranging from discounts to free tickets to free merchandise. Could even be free access to some exclusive behind a paywall event.
It seems like with blockchain, you can almost structure it like baseball cards too, where if you have players who have some coins to begin with, as they send those out into the economy, people can say, oh, you know, I've got LeBron James's first fan chain coin or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, digital scarcity plays a very big role in what we are building, and also in what a number of other pretty exciting projects around the sports media universe are developing. Look, of course, CryptoKitties proved it, that even if it's something silly, people really do hunger to have those one-of-a-kind items. So we already know that that's also a very powerful motivating force in the world of sports. But if I could, just for 30 seconds,
yeah,
I want to take a quick step back and explain, during that transaction that I just described between Pete and the cashier and getting the Manchester United t-shirt, how that started in this hypothetical situation I'm giving is Pete went on Sportscaster and he talked about Manchester United. And he talks about Manchester United whether they're playing or they're not. Whenever they're playing, people love tuning into Pete during the game because he gives not only the deepest analysis, but he's also the funniest commentator in the world. And he's really good at acknowledging the viewers who are tuning into him. So Pete has earned himself a ton of fan chain tokens through digital gifts and tips. So now when Pete goes to the store to buy himself some Manchester United merchandise, he's equipped with all of these fan chain tokens that he has earned because he created value for the Manchester United brand. He went out into the world, spent time, energy, and resources dedicating himself to telling viewers, you should love Manchester United as much as I do. So when teams or really any brand talks about meaningful fan engagement, fan chain enables that sort of engagement to be taken to a level that it's never been taken to before. And all of that is possible by unlocking the power of blockchain technology.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that you can take these communities and you can reward the people who are contributing the most to the community with something that clearly they value. So rewarding them with an incentive based on that community as well. So people aren't just getting cash, they're getting rewarded with something that is more meaningful because it's a passion of theirs.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you gave him cash, he'd go, you know, pay his cable bill with it.
Yeah.
But since he's earning these tokens that are associated with his favorite team, it's a much more direct relationship between the fan and the team. The fan really becomes part of the team.
Yeah, you're just optimizing the process, because a lot of people, you know, they go to work every day just so they can pay to go get tickets to a Mets game or something. So by optimizing that, it simplifies the whole process.
Yeah, exactly. Perfectly said.
So what are some other components of FanChain that people might find interesting, and why you're developing some of the other components? So maybe like the bounties, for example.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bounties are a somewhat, it's funny to call anything in this crypto space traditional, but a well-established way to get the word out about FanChain. And among some of the other projects you mentioned, the fan wallet, for instance, this is something that we're really excited about. And we're currently very close to releasing the first web-based fan wallet. The fan wallet, as you might have guessed, is the place where any staker or holder of FanChain can keep their tokens. FanPay is the way that on the sort of the other side of the transaction, that a vendor can accept fan chain tokens as a source of exchange, whether it be merchandise, whether it be tickets, or whether it be some sort of experience, digital or in the real world. FanPay will enable vendors to accept fan chain tokens in exchange for those perks.
So is the objective to start getting vendors at sports arenas and stadiums to start accepting fan chain pay?
It would be fantastic. I mean, I would say first and foremost, our objective is to continually create a environment where sports fans can become more engaged in more meaningful ways with the teams they love, and even better, with sports fans all over the world. I mean, I as a diehard Knicks fan, would love to be communicating on a regular basis with Knicks fans all over the world, you know, especially since there are so many international players in the NBA. There's tons of international players, of course, in the EPL and all of these soccer leagues around Europe. But thus far, too many leagues, too many teams and organizations have been limited by their physical geography. When you democratize a system and you globalize a system the way that we are globalizing it, the way that we're decentralizing it, you're able to bring people together. So is our mission to have FanChain accepted at, you know, whether it's a campus vendor or stadiums across the world? Sure. But first and foremost, we're developing platforms and products that make the fan experience more engaging and more meaningful.
So have you guys started focusing internationally? I know you talked about trying to make it more accessible for people internationally, but what about games like cricket games, for example, or sports that aren't really in the US, maybe rugby? Is there an effort to try and bring those over here? And are you guys focused on promoting it abroad yet, or is your focus mainly here first?
Well, I love that you bring up cricket, because we learned a pretty eye-opening fact about cricket. So I think typically we in the West, and especially here in America, we assume that the most watched sporting events must be the Super Bowl, or it must be, you know, the Champions League final. So when we went looking for certain data points and statistics towards that end, we found out that the Super Bowl, for instance, was streamed by somewhere between 10 and 20 million people, whether it's the last year's or the year before that. In comparison, the International Cricket Championship last year in 2017 between India and Pakistan was streamed, not just watched, but streamed by a billion people.
Yeah, billion. I was going to say, you know, you've got a billion and a half person built-in audience over there, so you got to do it.
Exactly. So when we are looking for new opportunities and partnerships, whether that's on the content side or really more on the business development side, we absolutely do not limit ourselves geographically one way or the other. Of course, we are based... you know, at least our team pretty much works out of the United States. We do have entities around the world. But being Americans, speaking English, being familiar with American sports and having relationships across various American leagues and teams, surely we've begun first and foremost with those relationships. So one of those... anyone in your audience has been keeping up with the Crypto Wire, they've likely seen the fact that we've recently announced an official partnership with the NFL Players Association.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to ask you a little bit about that.
Sure. So that's a really exciting partnership, and they've already been wonderful to work with, the NFLPA. They're just as excited about this relationship as we are. So ostensibly what that relationship entails is the NFLPA has acquired a stake in our business, an equity stake, and they will be supplying NFL players past and current to use the platform. That could mean that they are commentating a game or an esports tournament, or they're going live and giving behind the scenes access to their workouts. Could be really anything. Possibilities are somewhat endless there, which is exactly why we're so psyched about that. We do start our relationships and our discussions with American leagues and teams just because that's who we know at the moment. But no, we are just as fascinated and interested in and by international organizations and teams.
Do you think the industry is sort of waiting for a catalyst to bring new viewers in? Because I know viewership numbers have been either plateauing or declining, and they've had some issues with advertisers. And like you said, you know, the cricket game may have been streamed by 1.5 billion people or 1 billion people, but the money people are paying for ads for the Super Bowl is $10 million a minute. And a lot of these advertisers are realizing they're not really getting their money's worth and moving away. Do you think the industry is trying to make some drastic changes to recapture some of this revenue and some of their audiences?
Well, like any large industry, it's going to move rather slowly. It's the same with the music as it is with a number of different large industries. That having been said, what's interesting actually is that it's a bit of a misconception to say that, or I should say, it's a misrepresentation to say that viewership has fallen off. It's actually the truth that viewership across generations is just about the same as it's ever been. Kids love sports just as much as adults love sports. It's a fact, however, that the way that they are consuming their sports content is different. Younger generations are on their phones more. Younger generations aren't watching the sports live as often as their parents are. However, what they are doing is watching each other live, obviously more than any other generation prior. So what Sportscaster does is it sort of brings these two worlds together, where this younger generation that loves watching each other live but tends to watch highlights and replays are now encouraged to watch the sports live because their friends are the commentators now. So if we necessarily become a beacon for the rest of the sports media industry, I don't know. To sort of reiterate our focus again, we recognize how passionate people are about their favorite teams, young and old. And our goal and our mission is to make those experiences more meaningful and more engaging from the fan to the team and from the team to the fan and ultimately among fans on a global level.
And, you know, I think one way to keep fans really engaged, which is sort of a new development, is the legal, or I don't know if it's technically legalization, but the more broadly introduced practice of sports betting. So more and more people are now able to start betting with sports, and, you know, having money on the line is going to make anything more exciting, going to make people more dedicated, make them follow more closely along. So how are you guys thinking about introducing things like betting, and also with companies like FanDuel? I know there have been people who've gone through and done some research and found out that most of the people winning on FanDuel are essentially algorithms developed by hedge funds who are taking super broad bets against people who are making casual bets against their friends and who, you know, aren't operating quite at that level. So how are you guys thinking about introducing that and also making sure that you have, I guess, more fair play?
Well, it comes back to having developed the fan chain on Ethereum and decentralized the process by which any sports media entity is able to reward their fans and their customers. So in our pipeline right now, we do not have anything that enables me to bet with you. You can rest assured that, as creative people, as people with our eyes open and attuned to what's going on in the sports space, we're aware that the recent Supreme Court ruling takes sports betting out of federal jurisdiction has obviously opened some pretty dramatic doors. But our focus remains on what I've said now several times, which is increasing the fan experience, particularly as it relates to the live broadcast of games and interacting with each other. What the fan chain ecosystem does is it enables third parties to integrate the fan chain reward system into their platform. So if someone were to develop a wonderful new sports betting platform, the ability to integrate FanChain into that exists.
Yeah, I was thinking a company like Augur, for example, and they're back in Austin where we started our company, and they're just essentially creating decentralized prediction markets, so you could probably pretty easily integrate a prediction market for a sports game into a more general prediction market. Their markets are for anything and everything. So there certainly seems to be a lot of people using blockchain to give people some of these options as far as, you know, whether it's betting or investing. I don't know where you draw the line, but there doesn't seem to be a line anymore. So those options seem to be out there for people.
Well, look, if it's what the community wants to do, it's what the community wants to do. And that's sort of the beauty of developing decentralized systems. That having been said, for us as individuals and as a company, it's important that things remain above the board, that things have a certain level of integrity. So whereas we certainly recognize and agree with that powerful ability of blockchain to do away with any gatekeepers, we're certainly not encouraging any foul play within our ecosystem.
Yeah, sure. Never. And that's, again, one of the problems with Augur is because it's decentralized, they have assassination markets up right now. So, you know, there's always...
I don't think that's exactly a word that we want associated with our project.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always a bridge too far, I guess. So as far as some of the fan rewards, one interesting thing I was thinking about, we were thinking about doing a similar platform for mostly the music industry and other content creators. But we were going to really emphasize proprietary sales of merchandise. And this is something you could probably really easily do in that industry. So have, you know, autographed helmets or have the ball from a game there. So things that people can only buy with your coin, which adds a lot of value to the coin because, like you said, there are fans that are that passionate. So do you think you'll introduce stuff like that or maybe ticket prices that are much more competitively priced via your coin versus cash? So will you try to create an ecosystem where your coin within the sports world is actually a better deal than using cash?
Whether it's through partnerships, relationships, or simply developing things in-house, we will continually be pushing out more uses for the token. Anything that in the end makes being a fan more rewarding, the short answer is yes.
Well, that's good enough for me. Hey, you know, that's really all I have set up. If there's anything you wanted to close with, any links you wanted people to check out, I'll be sure to include everything in the description for people. But if there's anything you wanted to reiterate or any closing statements, floor is yours.
I appreciate that, Mark. I just want to say it's been a pleasure talking to you. I mean, I think you're an insightful cat. You got all of the stuff very quickly, and I think your input really generated a great conversation. So I really appreciate you having me on. The only couple of links I would push would be sportscaster.com. Check us out. We are currently in public beta in the App Store as well, with version 1.0 coming this fall once FanChain has been fully integrated. And I would encourage your listeners to check out fanchain.com, where they can see our roadmap, they can get to learn more about our team and understand our vision to unify the currently somewhat scattered sports media industry.
Well, we're excited to see where things go, and we'll be sure to keep in touch and keep track of your progress. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Been a pleasure.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with more soon. Today is one of Anchor's new promotions, so they'll have a few new options for you guys as you're listening if you're using Anchor. And with that, we'll see you next time.